The Bible calls us to a life of holiness, sanctification. We're to be set apart for Christ. But Pastor Ray Bentley explains what that doesn't mean.
There is a, what I call, piousness that is not biblical and it's not real. It's not Christianity. There is a religiousness that's not what the Bible is saying. There is another way that we can walk and be spiritual and be healthy.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, we'll see it's possible to develop such a biased, unbalanced view of what a religious life should be, we ruin our effectiveness. Pastor Ray continues our studies in Ephesians with a look at what it really means to walk in wisdom. We'll learn to keep heaven in mind, but not neglect our earthly responsibilities.
Let's open our Bibles to my favorite chapter in the Bible and yours, Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, we are in the practical section of the book of Ephesians, and let me briefly give to you the foundation of Ephesians. And by the way, it is not only the foundation of Ephesians, it is God's priority throughout the entire Bible. And this is how God has revealed himself to us and how we have a relationship with him. It begins with what God has done for you. It begins with God's gift to you of salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I don't deserve it. We can't earn it. And yet he loves us. He loved us when we were rebellious, when we were selfish, when we were had our back turned against him. He loved us completely. His heart obviously was broken, but he doesn't love us any more now than he did then. There's nothing we can do that would make him love us more than he already does. And it's really nice to realize that with God, I don't have anything to prove. And yet, in our human nature, there is, for some reason, I think it must be leftover results from the fall, we are constantly trying to earn God's love. We have this idea that if we don't do right, if we don't behave right, if we don't perform right, God doesn't love us as much. And nothing could be farther from the truth. God does love us, totally, completely, as we are, with all of our weird little idiosyncrasies, our little personalities, our failings, our shortcomings. He loves us dearly. And it is that love, it's the receiving of that unconditional kind of love that starts to open our hearts and heal us so that we can actually begin to change. Because that's usually what brings us to salvation in the first place, is we realize we're broken inside. So knowing that it's on a foundation of love and grace, and that every spiritual blessing is yours in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, therefore walk worthy of the calling that you have been given, Paul says. Once you have been bathed and saturated in the love and the grace of God, now we are free to begin exploring what does it really mean to walk with God? What does it mean to have my heart transformed, my desires, my interests, my thinking, my emotions, everything about me? What does it mean to walk with God? And Paul begins to describe what it means as human beings for us to walk with God in verses 1 through 7. It means to walk in love and what love is. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, to love. Not only loving God, but then having my eyes open to what it means, receiving love from God to me, now I am learning how to love others and that I've been brought into this marvelous and wonderful family. Then beginning in verses 8 through 14, Paul says to walk with God also means to walk in the light. In verse 8, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So the idea is that in the world, I was walking blind. I was walking in darkness. Now, what happens when you've got 6 billion people walking in darkness? They trample each other. They knock each other down. They trip over one another because they can't see. They don't know where they're going. And I think, you know, just you don't have to be a great genius. Just read the newspaper, listen to what's happening in the world to realize that human beings, though marvelously, fearfully, and wonderfully made in God's image, as David said in Psalm 139, something is wrong. Something is broken inside. Something is not working. And so now coming to the Lord and coming to salvation and seeing God manifest himself as the creator to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and now I begin to learn what love is and the forgiveness of God and the gift of his Spirit, and this healing begins to take place. Now his word becomes a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And behold, maybe as a beginning believer, it's only a flashlight, but hey, when you've been walking in darkness and getting trounced your whole life, a flashlight is really nice. And that light grows, I think, the further that you walk with the Lord and know him, and until finally, you might say that eventually we won't need the flashlight, the light of day will have come. And that's the second coming of Christ. So this ever-growing light, awareness, seeing, oh, I'm not going to walk down there. You know, look, those people are walking off a cliff, or they're walking into a wall, or they're walking over other people. They're tripping over themselves. I'm not going to do that anymore. I have light. And God shows us how and where to walk, and he puts a path before us. Now, beginning in verses 15 through 17, Paul continues this conversation, and he gives us the third metaphor of what it means to walk with God, and that is to walk in wisdom. So he says, beginning in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." When he says walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, he is saying that basically, again, contrast. He's making this contrast all through this chapter. In the world, people are not only not walking in love, they're walking in the opposite of love, which is selfishness. That's the, in one way or another, that's the MO of the world. What's in it for me? What are you going to do for me? As soon as I'm not getting my needs met, I'm out of here. And it's a very selfish way to live. So now we turn around and we're walking in love. I was walking in darkness, now in light. Paul says that in the world, there's a foolishness to that whole way of thinking and living. In fact, in the Psalms, it says, and it just says it point blank, the fool is the one who has said in his heart, there is no God. And so Paul is saying that the opposite of being foolish is walking wisely. Now, and it seems so basic, but the beginning of walking in light is to realize, hey, you know what? The universe doesn't revolve around me. And I am not God, and there is something beyond me, greater than me, the Creator, if you begin there, that is God. And now I need to walk in wisdom, and I want to walk in his path. He must have a plan, and he must have a purpose for my life. So Paul is saying that to walk wisely is to walk spiritually minded. It's like your eyes are opened. That there is more going on than merely what we can see with our physical eyes. In fact, that there are two worlds coexisting and passing through one another all around us. Now, you know, thousands of years ago, they didn't know what we now know today, which is those who are very smart, you know, the Einsteins of the world, they say that's actually possible. That there could be two coexisting worlds, not aware of each other, that actually are passing through one another. They are validating what the Bible says is in fact true, and has been from the very beginning. So now, realizing that there is more than meets the eye to what we see in life, there's a spiritual world, and I need to start getting accustomed to it and being aware of it and actually participating in it, my life needs to be spiritual. And everything in my life needs to be spiritual. But now, having said that, let me also clarify what I don't mean by that. Because I hope that all of you, as seeking the Lord, will want to walk more closely with God, walk more in love and in light, and walk more wisely. There is a what I call a piousness of spirituality that is not biblical and it's not real. There is a pretending spirituality that is not biblical and it's not real. It's not Christianity. There is a religiousness. You know, people that are like super, they're super spiritual, and that's not what the Bible is saying. There is another way that in fact that we can walk and be spiritual and be healthy. For instance, I believe that it is normal and healthy to have recreational time. I believe that God made all things to enjoy. You say, well, how do you know that? Where do you get that? In the very beginning pages. I mean, we're talking the first verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the whole planet Earth, and he gave it to Adam and Eve, and he said, it's yours. I give you the whole thing. It's all yours. The whole planet, all the trees, all the animals, and the exploration of it, and you can name the animals, and I mean, it's paradise. Enjoy. And I made you for me. I made the earth and all of its treasures and glories and beauty. I made that for you. And I made you for me. Now let's walk together and let's talk about what did you see today that I made? What did you discover today? And that was the idea in the beginning. God made all things for us to enjoy. Therefore, I believe that God made surf to enjoy surfing. I surf, and I'm a pastor. That doesn't mean that surfing is not spiritual. I think that surfing can be as spiritual as anything else. Now, I also believe that we can enjoy the mountains. We can enjoy, you know, nature. We can enjoy a walk along the rivers and the streams and all the rest of it. And, you know, while I'm out there, I can be worshiping God and just saying, Lord, you know what? I like this. I love this. And kind of just worshiping him and thanking him and enjoying it. Now, here's another thing that I'm just going to let you in on, because, you know, when the Lord comes back, he's coming back to the earth. And the Bible says that he's going to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. And earth will be restored to its garden-like state and paradise, and will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then it's almost like the Lord wants to say, now, this is, you know, Adam and Eve kind of went off on this detour. I want to bring it back, and this is what I had in mind from the beginning. And I'm going to let you just see it and experience it without sin, without death, without war, without all the atrocities for 1,000 years. And then after that, he says, I'm going to create a whole new heavens and a whole new earth, and I don't even want to tell you what that's like. So we've got an exciting future ahead of us, but so often we think, oh, when we die, I can't wait, I'm going to go to heaven. But in reality, the Lord in heaven is waiting to come back to the earth. So if we're going to rule and reign with him, I've thought that, you know, where he says we're going to rule and reign with him, I am putting in my prayer requests many petitions. Lord, I would like to be the mayor of Maui. anyway, my weird little sense of humor. Okay, back to, let's see, in your notes there, here's how the Message says it, which is another translation of the New Testament. These first, verse 15 and 16. And I put it in your notes. Here's what Paul is saying. Watch, so watch your step. In other words, okay, this is what it means to walk with wisdom. Watch your step. Use your head. And make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Now, doesn't it seem like Paul could have, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. Doesn't it seem like he could have written that today? Isn't it exactly the same situation that we find ourselves in today? And so part of the idea of walking with wisdom as compared to the world is that you, he actually says, redeeming the time in verse 16. Redeeming means to buy it up, to treat it like a commodity, a treasure, something extremely valuable. It's the one thing that both rich and poor have exactly the same amount. They only have so much time. And it's something that once having wasted, no amount of money, there's nothing you can do, no exercise you can go through to get it back. It's gone. And Paul is, I think, not so subtly saying to the Ephesians, now look, many of you were in the world. You walked in darkness and selfishness. You've been down that path, and you decided that I don't want to walk this path anymore. You turned around. You're walking now toward the Lord. You're walking in love, learning what love is. You're walking in light. You're starting to see the path before you. And now, let me also say to you that the world wastes their lives. The idea of worldliness is you do things that waste time, that waste resources, that waste gifts, that waste, you can waste a whole life, and it can go by just like that. So what does it mean then? Okay, now my eyes are open. I'm starting to sense that there's a lot more going on. And one of the things you realize is that time is very fleeting, it's very brief, and it's very precious. So take advantage of it. Use it. Use it for, you know, purposes that God has for your life. And that's what he says in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if I'm going to walk wisely, if I'm going to use my time wisely, then, hey, know what God's will is for your life. Now, let me tell you that in the Bible, you will find the general will of God. It's found in the Bible. And the general will of God is the same for me as it is for you. And in fact, that's what we're reading right now. This is the general will of God, that all of us would walk in love, that all of us would learn what it is to walk now that we can see spiritually in the light, that all of us would walk with wisdom. And so the general will of God revealed through the Bible is the same for all of God's children. However, the particular will of God, the unique will of God, the personal will of God for my life and your life is not found directly in the Bible. It's found there, but it's more indirectly. In other words, there's nowhere in the Bible where I'm going to find, Ray Bentley, I want you to start Maranatha Chapel and build a church in Rancho Bernardo, California. I'm going to find that. So when I now begin, you begin with the general will of God, and now there comes the other portion of daily being in the Word, which I encourage you and I will always be reminding you and probably you'll think I'm nagging you, and I don't mean to nag. I just want to say it and often enough until you believe it, buy into it, and start doing it. And that is that you would daily develop a habit of being in the Word, that you would turn your flashlight on in this dark world every day and get a nugget or two of some wisdom. And I know that some of you read the Bible, and you come to me, and many of you have said, more than one, have come up and said, okay, I like coming to church, and I like when you explain, because then I know what it means, and I see how it applies to my life. When I read the Bible, I don't get out of it what you share. And so I get stumbled, or I get confused, or I get lost, or it raises far more questions than I maybe sometimes find answers. Let me then encourage, if you're in that place, let me encourage you. Go get a study Bible. There are great ones, many of them. And what they give you, little paragraphs of explanation. They might explain, you know, either the Jesus history, you know, of Israel, or maybe something culturally that's Jewish that, because you live in Southern California, doesn't mean anything to you. But once you have that little paragraph of explanation, you have that aha moment. Now you read it. Now that makes sense to me. Now I know what he was talking about. Wow, that's good. And it makes this impression in your heart. You remember it. You carry it with you through the day. And it becomes life to you. So let me encourage that. But the other side, not only daily being in the Word, but a time of prayer. And not only a specific time of prayer, but kind of an attitude of prayer that you pray through the day about anything and everything. And it's through prayer and reading the Word then that on a personal level you come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, now to the best of my ability, I'm following your general will, but what do you want me to do? Here's the gifts that you've given me. Here's the personality that I have. Here's the desires you've placed within my heart. Speak to me. That takes you spending a little bit of time, which in our culture is very, it's not a habit that we have, of having alone time of reflection where you're asking God, seeking God, and then waiting for an answer. Where you're saying, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Should I take this job, not take this job? Should I continue in this relationship or not continue? What do you want me to do, Lord? I've done it my way, and I've, you know, run into walls. I'm tired of that. I'm not doing that anymore. I need some guidance. And you have a loving Father that says, hey, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got something designed, tailor-made just for you. You don't have to follow it. You can do your own thing. You can make it up as you go. Or I have a plan tailor-made just for you for every season of your life that has been planned and designed to bring you the greatest pleasure, the greatest joy, the freeing of your heart and soul. And if you want that, you're going to have to seek me. You're going to have to spend some time with me. You're going to have to actually have some quiet time and reflect. And then when you do that, there comes that moment where thoughts come to your mind. Oh, wow. And you have ideas, and the Lord communicates to you, and he begins to give you direction. And daily, as your life begins to unfold and you're kind of incorporating this into your life, you look back and you go, wow, I see a plan unfolding. I see some purpose here. This is getting exciting. In fact, this is getting kind of fun. And it is. It's the adventure and the dream of a lifetime. That's what God said to Abraham. Abraham, come, follow me. Where are we going? Don't worry about where we're going. Just follow me. I'll show you step by step. That's what God's called all of us. We're all the children of Abraham. We're on an adventure. He doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen the rest of our lives because we just get all nervous and anxious and he wants us to enjoy today. Here's where I am, and here's where I want you to go next.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good, balanced insight on the kind of life the Lord wants us to live. Glad you've joined us for another leg in our Ephesians journey today here on Maranatha Radio. And today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Spiritual Health. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy, son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time
on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.